Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Insurance fraud is no laughing matter because it costs consumers at least $80 billion each year. But some people seem to think it's okay, as evidenced by the incredible schemes they dream up. Our guest today is Jim Quiggle. He's the Director of Communications for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. Jim, it's nice to see you again.
Shirley, it's great to be here.
Now, you have such stories to tell about insurance fraud. They're almost unbelievable, but I know they're true. And we're going to, a little bit later, we're going to get to your Insurance Hall of Shame, which I love the name, the dishonored ones. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But I would like to talk about the weather and how it impacts on insurance fraud. And one of the things that we're particularly looking at is how the weather affects home repairs, tornadoes, snowstorms, rainstorms, all of those kinds of things create problems with our homes. And what you're seeing is just a whole profile of frauds by homeowners or by contractors or both.
Well, Shirley, the world of insurance fraud is vast and endless. Right now, we're seeing a lot of fraud by contractors who will swoop into neighborhoods after a storm, like a rainstorm, that leaves branches lying around and crack down on roofs. They'll knock on doors, and they'll try to offer shady deals to consumers who are so desperate to get their homes repaired that they'll almost take anybody in and do a contract with them.
Yeah, if you have a tree laying on your roof and it's starting to rain and rain is forecast for the next 3 days, you're getting a little bit desperate.
Well, the world is full of storm chasers. They come from out of state. You don't know them. They're not established in the community. They knock on your door and say, "Hey, I'm here to help." After a storm, you're vulnerable. You might be desperate. It's easy to say yes to someone, and you could be in the hands of a con man.
Unfortunately, sometimes the only person they help is themselves, and that's to your money. So I know this well from our consumers that complain to us about the problems that they've had. But you've identified five of the worst kinds of scams that are going on, and that's the prepay. Now, describe that to us.
Well, a contractor might just say, you need to give me at least a 50 or 80 or even 100% down payment before I can start the job. Well, that's an awful lot of money, and it's a license for the contractor to take your money and just run without completing the job or without doing any work at all.
And if the work is shoddy, that's another big complaint, right?
Well, you could be stuck with shoddy and fraudulent work. The problem is there's no guarantee that your homeowner's insurance policy will pay for fraudulent repairs.
Mm. So you better be careful. All right, now let's talk about these five worst scams that you've identified, and then we're going to talk about what the homeowner needs to do in terms of contacting their insurance company. But then the phantom damage, what is that about?
Well, a contractor might even just climb up onto a perfectly good roof, pull out a screwdriver, and start nicking the shingles to make it look as if a hail or a branch had stuck there. They've also been known to take screwdrivers and bang on your siding to create dents. Or there might be a hole left in your roof by a falling tree. Well, they'll take a hammer and make the hole even larger. What does this do? It inflates their fees.
Sure, absolutely does. And of course, if it's your roof, you're not up there. You know, I always tell consumers, look, if somebody's telling you there's damage to your roof, see if you can go to your neighbor's house up on the second floor with a pair of binoculars and examine it. Or go out in the yard with binoculars to see if you can see what's going on your roof. Because, I mean, unless this is somebody that you really know and you trust, you can't just have people knocking on your door and doing that, especially climbing on your roof when you can't see it.
Well, the best deal for you is when somebody knocks on your door and they say they're here to do a contract deal with you and to repair your home, just politely say thank you and close the door.
Now, one of the other frauds, the last one that you had written about on your website, was the contractor offers to pay your deductible. What is that about?
Well, it's an inducement. The contractor will say, listen, I'll go ahead and pay your deductible. Maybe it's $500 or whatever. And that's their inducement to get you to sign a contract with them. Once you've signed that contract, you're in their clutches, and you could be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing, too, is to keep in mind, if you do sign a contract at your home, You do have a 3-day cooling off period.
Not everybody knows that.
No, they don't. They misapply the cooling off law to a lot of other things, but it's something that takes place at your home. And if you want to change your mind, you have the right to do that, and they cannot charge you for anything unless you let them start work right away, which maybe people are inclined to do when there's damage to their home.
Well, that's why you as a consumer and a homeowner need to know your rights so that you can deal with contractors effectively.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's talk about what a homeowner does to protect themselves. And you've got you come up with a number of ways that you can fight back against shady contractors. But what is the first approach? Would it be for the consumer to once they know that there's damage, immediately contact their insurance company?
You need to bring your insurance company into every step of the process. Do not let the contractor take over your house, take over the repairs, or take over the insurance process. You have to get your insurance company involved and let them help lead the way.
Who should receive the money from the insurance company? Should you receive the money from the insurance company and then you in turn pay the contractor? What is the procedure, or is there a standard procedure for doing that?
Yeah, you may end up paying the, you know, receiving the check, and then you can just sign it over to the contractor.
To me, that would be preferable, because then that way you only can sign it over if you know the work's been done.
Well, yes, exactly. And you have to make sure that the insurance company signs off on the repair work. Homeowner policy may not pay for fraudulently done repairs. And if the contractor uses shoddy material that doesn't hold up, or the repairs are obviously of substandard quality, the insurance company might say, no, contractor doesn't cover fraud.
Right.
It only covers honest repairs.
And because they're looking at more repairs down the road. You know, if that roof is not really repaired properly, there may be another insurance claim when you have the next big rain.
Oh, yes. And roof, again, you do not want large claims against your policy. If the contractor has inflated his fees, you've got a very large claim against your policy. What happens when you have another disaster?
Yep. Well, you know, one of the things that you do is talk about verifying the license. You should ask to see the license, and you should actually call the county license issuers.
Yes.
To make certain. Actually, in many cases, you can go online and find out whether or not contractors are licensed.
Well, yes, you need to discover the local contracting licensing agency. Sometimes it's countywide, sometimes it's statewide.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know where to get a license, where the contractor has a license, then verify that it is up to date. The problem is the contractor often will swoop in from out of state.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even listed in state. They're going door to door in the middle of the chaos after a storm.
Well, I mean, sometimes there are legitimate contractors that come to town, but you have to be very careful. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jim Quiggle. He's the Director of Communications for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud, and we're talking about the fact, and are you ready for this? Insurance fraud costs us $80 billion. That's with a B, dollars a year. That's just totally incredible, Jim. I mean, you think about the money that's being wasted to crooks. Makes me very angry. I want to fight back. Let's fight back. But as you've said, one of the most important things is to start immediately working with your insurance company and your agent, if you have an agent, if you haven't bought it directly. Verify license. Door-to-door contractors, you really don't know who you're getting.
Yes, and also insist on a signed contract before work is done. Do not sign a contract that has blanks in it.
And that contract should specify the type of work, a time frame for doing it, the type of materials, and, is it going to be, if it's flooring that has to be replaced, there are grades of flooring. What kind of flooring is going to be put down? If it's tile, is it ceramic tile? Is it vinyl tile? I guess you need to have all those things clearly drawn out before you sign any contract.
Absolutely. That's very good advice, Shirley. And I'd also recommend do not give the contractor a huge sum of money up front. 15 to 20% is about right. If they want 60 to 70%, that's a red flag. Back off and find someone else.
Jim, what is the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud? I know you're doing a lot of education, and that's an essential thing to educate people. First off, as I said earlier, it's not a laughing matter. It's not just a big insurance company that you can defraud, because you're really defrauding consumers. You're defrauding other consumers as well, because it costs us. I mean, all of this fraud costs us. But you all are doing education. How are you working on the issue of insurance fraud?
Well, you have to hit insurance fraud in many ways. You have to have tough state fraud laws that really crack down on criminals and make it very hard for them to operate. You have to educate the public about what scams are out mm-hmm. there and what they can do to avoid getting scams. We're very involved in both ends, and you have to have an informed consumer out there.
I've learned so much from you, like the scams that are the what do you call them? The car ones where they hit you on somebody hits you on purpose. There's a name for that, isn't there?
Well, you will have staged crashes where somebody
right.
will maneuver you into a crash
right.
so that they can set up for a large injury claim against your policy.
They've suddenly got a bad neck. Oh, my neck hurts. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. it really is amazing. Your website, actually, you have some fantastic information there. And it is insurancefraud.org, right?
That is correct. That's where you go to find a world of consumer protection.
And the Hall of Shame.
And the Hall of Shame.
I love the Hall of Shame. Well, I don't love it I love it because Jim writes it. It's so amusing and crazy, and you cannot believe what people have done. I mean, I am constantly astonished. I mean, you know, well, let's talk about some of those, some of the people that are in your Hall of Shame right now. And like one of them is the diamond heist. Tell us about this.
Well, a couple of diamond dealers in Manhattan were having some very difficult financial troubles. So they hired a couple of thugs who were disguised as Hasidic Jews, complete with the hats and the ringlets and beard, fake beards and black clothing. They were hired to go in and pretend to steal the $9 million worth of dollars worth of diamonds from the business. The problem is the owners were doing the stealing and packing up the diamonds. They were running off with it. The idiots didn't know that their cameras, in their own security cameras, were catching the whole heist.
That's incredible. It's talking about being dumb thieves.
Well, it was a feast for the prosecutors to have all this on tape.
I can imagine. Good Lord. It does boggle your mind. I mean, it's people who claim that their spouses are dead and that they do all kinds of things. and how do you learn about these? These are things that the insurance companies report to you all that's taken place that are just outrageous?
Well, surely insurance companies will tell me what's going on. We monitor the internet continuously. We read the news every day. We know all the scams that are happening in the country.
So, boy, that must be depressing. Do you find that the internet plays a big role in scams now? More, you know, is this a place where it makes it easier for crooks to defraud us, defraud insurance companies, or not? Is it not?
The internet is beginning to be a real tool of fraud. Fake health plans will create internet sites, websites that look beautiful and very professional, except they're complete shams. You're trying to buy health coverage online, and it's worthless. So you have to be very careful of internet sites that you don't recognize.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's true. You don't have there's not a brick and mortar store for you to go visit, or a person that you can visit in person. So you have to take it on faith. And, you know, you really do. You're absolutely right. Especially something like a health insurance plan. And that has been a big problem for a number of years, I believe, hasn't it?
Well, the economy's been so bad that people are very anxious for a good deal.
Right.
Or they've been laid off and they're looking for insurance. They can't afford the traditional coverage. They're vulnerable to deals that are shady and where the prices are too low.
Well, they're looking for insurance in all the wrong places, unfortunately, in that situation. All right, tell us about the guy who torched his home and shoots the witnesses. I mean, really and truly.
Well, he was a work of art. He had a swanky home. He had a very swanky home in Arizona. His business was declining. He decided to torch the place to get an insurance payout. His handyman helped him do it. His handyman also decided to testify against him, so the handyman had to go. Miller walked into his house, crept into his house, shot the handyman and his girlfriend. Three kids were there living in the house. They were witnesses. They had to go too, so he shot three kids at point blank range, execution style.
Oh my gracious. That man is vicious, awful. I hope he's locked up forever.
Oh no, they threw the book at him. And by any other measure, he would be labeled a terrorist.
Oh my God. It kind of makes me speechless sometimes the things that people will do. They're just so totally out of the frame of reality. Let's just take a brief pause to let folks know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jim Quiggle. He's the Director of Communications for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. And we're talking about some of the wild and wacky schemes that people have cooked up to try to get insurance money. I mean, I know that you've written in the past about people who would sink their yacht. I mean, and then tell some of this craziest stories. What's wrong with these people? I mean, honestly. But then there's the one about the roof, the DJ's storm insurance claims. What happened to him?
Well, a DJ, a very popular drive time DJ.
That was a woman. Oh,
absolutely, she was. And she was a very popular drive time DJ up in Rhode Island. She wanted to have her house remodeled. Just by luck, a storm had come through and banged up her roof and banged up other parts of her home. So she hired a couple of crooks to make the damage even worse than it already was, and then try to lie to the insurance company that no, a storm had done all this damage when in fact it was been manufactured.
Oh, good Lord.
She wanted the insurance company to pay for the remodeling of her home.
Good grief. What's wrong with these people? I mean, do you ever just sit there with your mouth open thinking, these people are really wacky?
Shirley, I'm beyond being surprised.
You've been seeing too much of it
anymore.
Yeah, you've seen too much of it, and you know. And what gets me, Jim, is the figure of, and as you said before we went on the air, the estimate of $80 billion is conservative in terms of the amount of insurance fraud.
Shirley, $80 billion is very conservative. Imagine what insurance fraud really does to people. They think it's a harmless prank against insurance companies. There's no victims. It's an easy thing. In fact, insurance fraud kills people. It breaks up families. It robs people of their life savings. It causes despair and depression. This is a full-scale crime that does immeasurable damage to consumers.
And it's costed me money. I don't like it. Then there was the crooked cop who shot himself. Really? And I shouldn't laugh about it, but it just astonishes me. Tell us about the crooked cop.
Well, the crooked cop wanted to take a little break from his work, courtesy of his insurance comp policy. So he pulled out a gun and shot himself in the chest in his bulletproof vest. He lied that someone had done it to him.
Well, he didn't shoot himself in the foot. Excuse me. You used the phrase, he shot himself in the foot with a shot to the chest. And he shot himself in the chest?
He shot himself in the chest. It did some damage to his chest just because of the impact, even though he had a bulletproof vest. Guess what happened? Well, traffic was snarled for hours while police were looking for a phantom crook, and kids were in lockdown in the schools, thousands of them, for up to 9 hours. No bathroom breaks, no food, no water for many of them. This is what this guy did to a lot of harmless kids.
And he was wearing a bulletproof vest when he did this, right?
No, yeah, he had a vest. If he'd shot himself in the chest,
he would have probably died. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was dumb, but not that dumb.
Wow, I tell you. Well, how was he found out? Do you know?
Well, he started saying inconsistent. His stories were inconsistent. He started refusing to cooperate with investigators. And here's a cop who's not cooperating with investigators. Get out of here.
Yeah, right.
They immediately got suspicious.
Something wrong with that. Oh, man. Then there's a person who tries to burn down their house. Oh, can you believe this? Barrières wanting to burn down their rickety home for insurance money?
Well, the Barrières wanted to burn down their home. They couldn't sell it. They had a lot of problems. They hired a guy who was a rank amateur who just spilled gasoline all over the place. He lit the match, and the gas blew up in his face. It wrecked the home, caused burns over most of his body, third degree. He died later that day at the hospital.
Oh, man, I'm telling you that. I mean, that's tragic end for this guy. But what he tried to do, you know, anyway. Then there was the person who was supposedly died. Jim Davis died suddenly. Tell us about Jim Davis.
Well, she decided that her husband had died and that he was an FBI agent. Who died in the line of duty, shot, and died of lung problems.
Good story.
Only one problem. She wanted the life insurance money, except that he never was an FBI agent. Guess how she was found out? Well, another FBI agent who was investigating the case said, wait a minute, I would have known about this through the network. He hadn't heard a thing about it.
And he didn't exist.
He got suspicious and found that the husband existed, but not as an FBI agent.
Oh, so Jim Davis did exist. Well, did she kill him or did he really die?
Oh, no. Okay. I see. We're talking about a separate case.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. This is about the one who didn't exist. But then there was the one tell us about her, what she did. So her husband was he alive or did she kill him or what?
No, she had a real husband.
Okay.
Who was not an FBI agent.
Oh, okay.
She told the life insurance company that he was an FBI agent.
I remember you talking about one time about the woman who was killing her husbands, feeding them antifreeze.
Oh, yes.
oh, God.
Unfortunately, antifreeze is very easy to get away with. You put it in your Gatorade, and it's harmless. You almost don't know it's there.
But it's deadly.
Your organs shut down over time.
Yeah.
They keep feeding it to you.
Oh, my God. So that's, because this woman not only did this to one man, she did it to a second one, if I remember correctly.
She did, and she had the book thrown at her, too.
Deservedly so. I would assume you, of course, want anybody who suspects that there's insurance fraud taking place to report it to the insurance company. Would they report it to you all also, Jim? Is that something that you all as a coalition does?
Your best bet is to report it to the insurance company and the state insurance department.
Okay. That's good advice. Because then that way it gets into the hands of authorities who can do something about it. So, yeah. Okay. Let's give people, again, your website for all this wonderful information.
Oh, if you want to know everything about insurance fraud and how you can save yourself a world of hurt and protect and empower yourself, www.insurancefraud.org. That's your ticket to anti-fraud protection.
Yeah. And if you want to go visit the Hall of Shame, it's there, the one for 2011. It's got all these illustrious characters. And, you know, you're going to sit there and read it and just say, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that this is true. And yet I know it is, Jim, because I know you wrote it and I know you and I know the veracity of your information. But it is good. The educational campaign that you all do, the way you focus attention on insurance fraud, I think is something. And, you know, as you pointed out, some people think it's okay. It's just a big insurance company. I'm only ripping them off for a few hundred dollars. It's not okay, is it?
Well, you inflate a claim for a few hundred or a couple thousand
You're
dollars.
You're committing fraud.
You get caught. You have a permanent criminal record. You're exposed.
Yep, and that's the last word. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest is Jim Quiggle with the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. I'm Shirley Rooker.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.